Man kann sein Glück aussehen, es hegen und pflegen, langsam wachsen sehen, darauf warten.
Oder man reißt es einfach auf.
Die Lose zum Aufreißen von Lotto Bayern. Das Bayernlos, das Bayernglück, das Extragehalt oder das Megagehalt. Reiß dein Glück auf. Nur in deiner Lotto-Annahmestelle. Lotto Bayern, nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Infos unter biürk.de.
It was called Piper Toys. Elegant and refined. Located right in the heart of the village square. Decorated meticulously with luxurious burgundy velvet curtains and a bright pink door with a golden knob. The proprietor was incredibly chic. With a black bob cut and painted red lips, she looked like she belonged in New York, even Paris. Not here. Not with us. As a kid, going to Piper was a worthy occasion and one I coveted, as it was only when I went with my friend Cassie and her parents. The shelves were lined with intricate jeweled trinkets, bins full of stuffed animals, with fur so soft I could press it against my cheek. Behind the counter was a glass case of dolls, incredibly lifelike in their appearance, so much so that sometimes it would catch me off guard, the glassy eyes following me as I moved. It was a month before Christmas that Piper Toys unveiled their holiday display window. In front were several boxes wrapped in shiny gift paper, along with a menagerie of plastic animals. A cherry red sign in large white font read, "Coming soon, this year's hottest toy, animal masks." And below it, in smaller writing, "Become the animal you are meant to be." My dad was out of work. The hefty $30.99 price tag dashed my hopes of having an animal mask of my own. All I could do was speculate, along with my fellow students, what they were. It must be something special to be the hottest toy of the season and to take up prime real estate in the toy store just as kids were starting to write their list to Santa. It was Dinah Summers who was the first to find out. Amongst the crowd of eager students in the school lobby, she uncovered a fleshy salmon-coloured mask from her backpack, boasting that her father had secured her an animal mask before anyone else. "Just watch," she said with a mischievous smile, and the cluster of kids around her stilled. With one hand, she pushed the mask against her face, the other stretching the rubbery texture across her perfectly permed blonde hair. There was a collective gasp as Dinah's face was transformed into that of a white tabby cat. It looked cartoonish, but still unfathomable. Her visage had morphed, stretching and shrinking, her nose now a pink, meaty thimble. The whiskers protruding from her cheeks quivered with laughter. Almond yellow eyes with slits in the middle danced around and, opening her mouth, revealing two pointed canines. "Meow," she cooed, lifting a human hand to overwhelming applause. She took the mask off, her face returning to normal, boring Dinah, now unremarkable in comparison. The mask, just the piece of plastic in her hands. "It's a different animal for everyone," she yelled. News spread like wildfire about the animal masks. The sign in the display window at Piper changed from "coming soon" to "available, 12 out of 14, limited quantities." The morning of the animal mask release, there was a line of anxious parents that stretched all the way from the toy store to Coldwall Pharmacy, six blocks away. Mr. Coldwall himself stood outside, his arms crossed, muttering, "I ain't never seen anything like this before." Eventually, the town sheriff had to come out, telling people they couldn't block the crosswalks. My dad was not in attendance, but I waited with Cassie at her house, exchanging restless looks at the door. Her mum and dad had been in the line since 6 a.m. "They better get it," Cassie said between clenched teeth. When the front door opened, Cassie's mum came in with a huge grin. "I got it, baby," she said, holding a lush, lavender Piper Toy Store bag in her right hand. "Maybe if you're a good girl, you can open it a little before Christmas." She winked at Cassie, who was squealing with joy. Christmas at my home that year provided no lavender gift bags or any other presents. The only box under the tree was an unwrapped board game I had received the year before. I attempted to seem thrilled, hugged my dad around his flabby waist. "It's just what I wanted, really." I called Cassie that night, desperate to learn if she had tried on her animal mask yet. "Come over," she said into the phone. When I arrived at Cassie's parents, they were in the living room, laughing. "We don't know where our daughter is," said Cassie's dad. "She's probably monkeying around." With that, Cassie emerged from behind the door, her face now morphed into that of an ape. It was incredible. Her wrinkled skin pushed upwards, meshed with fine black hairs. "Oh my God," I said, coming over and touching her. "It's so real, right?" Cassie said, giggling. It came out more like monkey sounds. "Can I try it on?" I asked in amazement. "Sorry, but the box said it's only supposed to be used by one person. My parents are even thinking about buying one now for themselves." "I got to say, it's really incredible." Cassie's dad took a sip from the beer he was holding. "Never seen anything like it. Must be some of that new technology they're always talking about." After the winter break, going back to school was more like going to a zoo. It seemed like everyone had an animal mask on, from all the little kids all the way up to the seniors. Bird children chirped away. There were trails of drool in the hallway from those wearing dog masks. Kenny Bogwater, the sole elephant, took to trumpeting from his trunk every morning before class, requesting that students take off their masks during school hours. Letters were sent home to parents that were, of course, ignored. Everyone thought it was just a fad that would pass, and eventually, the school officials conceded. As one of a handful of students without an animal mask, it felt strange to be in what was considered human form. I began to feel like an outcast. Students began to group themselves together based upon their animal mask and identifying as such. Cassie began to distance herself from me, becoming friends with a pocket of students who were also ape masks. I would sometimes sit with them at lunch. They began to talk in grunts, as if they had their own secret language. The bat masks began to lurk in dark corridors. Mice masks scored for snacks and leftover food, while cat masks watched them with alert eyes. Dog masks refused to come inside at all, and fish masks started a petition for the school to build a swimming pool. One day, when Cassie and I were walking home, I noticed some red lesions, blisters cropping up around her skin where the flesh met the mask. I might have been imagining it, but the mask was starting to look more realistic as well. When I mentioned it to Cassie, she dismissed my concerns, claiming that I was just jealous. Several months after Christmas, I found myself in front of Piper Toys, looking longingly into the window. The owner came into view, her dark-rimmed eyes focused down on me, her hand motioning me to come inside. "No animal mask," she said with an arched eyebrow. "You must be the first kid I've seen in ages without one." I took my hands into my coat pockets, embarrassed. "Perhaps it's not for you. I have a lot of toys." She went over to the counter, retrieving one of the beautiful dolls. Its cheeks were rosy, with soft eyes. It looked so real, I imagined that I saw its chest deflate, as if it were breathing. "I have no money," I said, sheepishly. "Oh," she said, tilting her head. "Consider it a gift. Anything in the store you want. My treat." She flicked out her tongue. I couldn't believe it, looking at her incredulously. "Really?" "Anything," she said again, leaning closer, the smell of clothes deep and earthy. From that proximity, I could see under a worn lipstick that her lips were actually black, the crevices in the corners showing. "I would like an animal mask, please." As I said it, she went to the shelf, pulling down a shiny new box and putting it into one of those delicious pale purple bags. "Perfect timing," she said, handing it to me. "Would you like to try it on here?" I shook my head. "I want to try it on with my best friend, Cassie." Elation filled me, like drinking hot chocolate after playing in the snow on a cold day. I thanked the owner again before running out of the store and towards home. I called Cassie, but there was no answer. Circling the edges of the box with my finger, I was eager to open it. What animal would I be? I hoped I would be a monkey, like Cassie, or something cool and different like Kenny Bogwater's elephant. It really didn't matter, though. The only thing that did was that I would be a part of it now. I went to bed, waking up anxious the next morning to call Cassie. No response. Undeterred, I took the unopened box and went over to Cassie's home, up in the nicer area of town, on Bluebird Street. I rang their bronze doorbell, and Cassie's dad came to the door. He looked disheveled, his face red and puffy, and clothes ripped and stained. I heard an awful sound coming from inside. Monkey screeches. Peering around him, I saw a small but fully formed monkey, its body covered entirely in black fur. It bared its fangs at me, jumping on the couch, before swinging its hands and feet up the stairwell to the second floor landing. "She was like this when we woke up this morning," said Cass's dad, his eyes filled with horror. "We're waiting for the police to come." Cassie wasn't the only one. All of the children in our small town who had adorned the animal masks had transformed into their animals. Those that were dogs and cats were easily caught and captured. There were a few unfortunate cases of a parent finding a rat or mouse and swiftly killing it unknowingly, as well as several fish found dead in a pile of clothes. Those that were birds took to the sky to never be seen again. Kenny Bogwater, now a 2-ton elephant, was sent to a local zoo, where, as far as I'm aware, he lived out the rest of his days peacefully. There were no answers. Upon the discovery of the animals, it was found that Piper Toy Store and its mysterious owner had disappeared into the night, along with a strange collection of toys. Cass's parents kept the monkey, treating it as a pet. I would sometimes come to visit, less so as I grew older into adulthood, moving out of state. At times, I would look into what used to be my best friend's eyes, searching for some form of consciousness or recognition. I found none. What happened with the animal masks has continued to haunt me, though I've done my best to forget about it. It was only recently, when looking at a friend's baby registry on Amazon, that something caught my attention. A name that gave me pause. Clicking on the link of the item, I opened the merchant page. Name: Piper Toys. My eyes widened in terror, unable to breathe as I read out their products. Piper Baby Teether takes the bite right out of teething. Piper Children's Picture Book, so real you'll feel like part of the story. Piper Baby Crib. Baby will sleep forever.